Revelation chapter 21, verses 22 through 27. This is the reading of God's word. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it in the daytime, for there will be no night there. Its gates will never be closed, and they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time, time in which we hear your word. But Father, grant us an ear to hear. Non-believer can just sit here and hear, but that doesn't help that person. You have to work in us. Even as we hear your word, that you have to work so that they will receive your word with faith. Otherwise, it will benefit us nothing. But Father, we pray that because of your grace, that we will truly hear your voice through your word. And as we hear your voice, that we will be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. That we may live the very life of our Lord Jesus Christ. For his life is now our life. Bless us and receive all the glory, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll finish it up, chapter 21, and just one more chapter to go. After that, we'll go to 1 Samuel, so start reading 1 Samuel. Even though, personally, I would like to stay in chapter 21 and 22 forever. But, you know, we have to move on. In this chapter, we are looking at our eternal heavenly reality. This is not our imagination. This is reality. See, we have two realities, so to speak. One that is seen, this world, and one that is not seen. And just because it is not seen doesn't mean it's not real. Actually, it's more real than the things that we see, because what we see is not eternal. Everything that you see, just give it a time, it will be gone. But the heavenly reality that our Lord has accomplished for us, which we are looking at through his word, it's forever. It does not change. That is why Christians are described in 2 Corinthians as people who focus on the things that are not seen. For what is seen is temporal, but what is not seen is eternal. The reality of our eternal salvation that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us, his people, and that is what we are looking at through his word. And we saw this last time. If you want to describe heaven in one sentence, we'll borrow the words of verse 11a, having the glory of God. Heaven is filled with glory of God. And you belong to heaven, thus you are filled with glory of God. Not yet visible, even though you are filled with the Holy Spirit, thus you are filled with His glory, and yet it's not visible. But one day when Jesus returns, it will be visible. Just wonderful picture. You know, you look at your photo albums, and then you look yourself, your portrait, and you remember the good times you had. Just like it through God's word, you are looking at your portrait. But it's not of the past, but it's of your eternal reality. That portrait will never pass. All the portraits that you have, it's all about the past. And you remember how it was. But it might not be how it is now. But the portrait that we're looking at in the Bible is forever. This is how we are forever. And we are filled with the glory of God, and we shine the glory of God forever and ever. The glorious and righteous and perfect, the wife of the Lamb, the bride of the Lamb, the holy temple of God, the holy city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And we are like God. No, we never be God, but we are like Him. That was His intention when He created us in His image. And that image of God is now perfected in us. And I want you to be very, very clear. The purpose of God in showing us our reality of heaven through His word. You know, so many even so-called Christians say, heaven, that's something that is far away. What is it good for us today? But see, you have to understand the method of God. How does He work in the life of the church, His church, in the lives of His people? 1 Corinthians, and let me show you a few verses here, because I believe this is really important. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now let's go to Colossians first. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, and I would like to ask you, if you have been raised up with Christ, have you been raised up with Christ? Answer is yes, otherwise you're not Christian. So, if, meaning you are included here, if you have been raised up with Christ, then what? Keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So first thing you need to understand that is that looking towards heaven, seeking heaven, is God's command. If you want to live a life that is in obedience to His will, then you must seek heaven. Do not set your mind upon the things of this world, God says. Now, I could find you so many verses like this. What amazes me is that so-called Christians Their whole focus is always about this world. That amazes me. That where do they get that understanding? That as a Christian, that's how they are to live. Because the Bible doesn't teach it like that. Why is this so? John chapter 18. And it will take some time for you to find these things, but I want you to look at these words yourself, but looking at it is not good enough. You have to hear it. And that's why I will read it to you. John chapter 18. No, not 18, 15. Verse 18. Listen to what Jesus says. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, if you belong to the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Whether you understand it or not, if you are Christian, and if you're a Christian, you should understand, because the word says so, that you do not belong to this world, even though you live here. You belong to the another world, which is heaven. That's why Philippians chapter 3 says that your citizenship is in heaven. And we talk about citizenship, This is a big issue today. But whether you are citizens of the United States of America or not, if you're a Christian, you are citizens of heaven. You don't belong here. You're like an ambassador. That's why Paul described himself as an ambassador of God. Ambassador from Korea. Yeah. That person lives in the United States, but his country is Korea. He represents Korea in this country, United States, ambassador. And you have to understand that you are an ambassador of God's country. Even though you live here, you're representing heaven, kingdom of God. And if you do not understand who you are, then you will fail to live the life that he commands us to live. Go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 18. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, you could be called many, many things. And believe me, as a pastor, I've been called so many things. Mostly, I don't want to get into all that. But if you are called an enemy of the cross of Jesus Christ, what's worse than that? Nothing's worse than that. But who is enemy of cross? Verse 19. Whose end is destruction, because they will be destroyed with this world, they will be sent to hell. Whose God is their appetite, their stomach is their God. They do things according to what? The evil desires of their flesh. And whose glory is in their shame, and what? Who set their minds on earthly things. Who are the enemy of the cross? Those who set their minds on earthly things. I'm not making these things up, you guys. And why would I tell you these things except that I truly, truly, and God knows this, love you. Because I don't want you to live a life that at the end is just complete disaster. Oh yeah, you might be recognized while you live here on earth. They might even praise you. But at the end, it's complete disaster. But verse 24, our citizenship is in heaven. Second Corinthians chapter 4. And this verse, I talked to you about it already, but I want for us to hear it once again. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So your focus is always heaven, because it's eternal. Because that is not going to change. Who you are in this world will change, and it's just temporary. And you do not give all you got for just the things that are temporary. That is the most foolish thing to do. And yet, even so-called Christians, they want to live like that. This world is everything to them. Heaven, that's just afterthought. That's just later. But why do you think God, using His Word to tell us about heaven, why does He show us heaven? If it is just afterthought and something that we should not even think about. Actually, because you do not understand the Word of God fully, that you don't see heaven in all the verses. But actually, the whole Bible is about Christ and heaven. If you truly understand the true meaning. Yes, we do have problem that so-called God's people are not focused on heaven. And this is a serious problem. This is so serious that I need to remind you time to time. Because the Bible reminds you all over the place. You cannot live like non-Christians. And, you know, by Christian and non-Christian, we're talking about what the Bible actually says, not what people say who is Christian or what is Christian. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's all about what the Bible has to say, what Christian is really about. First John chapter 4, verse 5. Just hear this. First John chapter 4, verse 5. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. The people who are from the world will speak the world. And the world will listen. But see, you are not from the world. You are not of the world. You do not listen. You listen to your Lord. And He doesn't speak to you as if He's from this world. And He will never lead you to focus on the things of the world. How could He? So when you hear things that forcing you to focus on the world, it's not coming from God. I beg you, because I don't know what else to do.
to see the kingdom of God, your God's kingdom, your eternal home. You know who tempted showing the world to Jesus? You know, you read about Jesus' temptation. And Satan was tempting him. And one of those temptations was he showed the world and the glory of the world. And he said, you bow down to me, I will give you the world. So many churches are doing that today. You know, you serve God and God will give you the world. You know, that's Satan's temptation. Do you understand this? God never showed the glory of the world and, you know, ask us to do something so that he could give the world. Where does he do that? And you might think that this church is like too much focused on heaven. But I don't think so. We're not as nearly focused in heaven as much as the Bible does. And as your pastor, this is something that is so serious. Because I want all of you, God's people, to live as a Christian that the Bible describes. But brothers and sisters, this is another thing I want you to understand. Heavenly reality, it should never be your burden. See, you love world so much that when God shows heaven, it becomes burden to you because you want the world so much. It should never be burden to you because it's the joy. That is our goal. That is our purpose. It is to live with God in that glorious place forever and ever with the joy that the world will never know. Yeah. You know why you are precious to me? Well, I could give you so many reasons. And we don't have time to give you all those reasons. But this is where I could speak of heaven. You know, even when I go to another churches, when I talk about heavenly reality, it's like talking to the wall. They don't care. They don't want it. Because they want this world. That's why they come to church, to get the world. Somehow they have this misunderstanding that when they come and serve God, that God will give us the world. But Father, I mean, why I say Father? But brothers and sisters, you are what I call endangered species. The true Christians who seek heaven and Jesus. Endangered species. That's why you're so precious to me. Among many other reasons. Let us help one another. Encourage one another. To live the very life that Jesus has lived. In which he focused only to the Father and His kingdom. Nothing of this world. You know, we're just passing through. And this is a very important thing. I know I'm going on and on. You know, this is not my style. But we're going camping. And this is, I think, good illustration. And I don't give illustration during sermon that often. So this is true. Illustration here. Camping. Now, when you go to camping, you know, I'm going to take my tent. And it's very old and those poles, you know, some of it is like broken and I have to tape it. And, you know, it's not that good of tent. And we're going to have like 7 tents or something like that. But I'm sure it's not that good. But do we mind? No, not really. I don't care if someone else has a better tent over there. And I'm like, oh, I wish I could have that tent, you know. Oh, I hate this tent. No, I don't do that. I enjoy myself for 3 days, even though my tent is really bad. You know why I could do that? You know why I don't care? Because I'm going to come back home. But if I have to live in that tent for next 70 years, then I'm going to mind. I'm going to really mind. Man, I want to have a better tent then. But I'm coming home. It's only 3 days. Who cares? That's why, you know, we don't even take shower. And we don't care. Now, compared to, you know, we live how many years? 100 years. Not, but, you know, maximum 100 years. And 100 years and 3 days camping. Do we care what those 3 days are about? You know, how we're going to live? What kind of tent we have? You know, we don't care. Because it's only 3 days. Other days, we come home. So 100 years to 3 days. What about 100 years to eternity? How sure is 100 years to eternity? Yeah, it's like 100 years on this earth is just like those 3 days in camping. We don't really care what kind of house, what kind of car. Do you? I don't. But if God give us big house, then I enjoy. If He doesn't, then I still enjoy. It really doesn't matter. And do not understand, I'm not saying let's live poor. No, why live poor if God gives you much? If God gives you much, then enjoy. And if He doesn't give you much, then still enjoy. Because it really doesn't matter for us. We're passing through. I'm going home. Even today, this 24 hours is what? I'm spending these 24 hours going home. And next tomorrow, I'm still going home. I'm still going home until I get there. That's my life. I'm just passing this world. And the Christianity, you know, God's purpose is so that we could focus on our eternal home. That is what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. That's where we're going to live forever and ever. Not here. And whatever that you are here or how you lived here, really doesn't matter when you get there. God will never ask you, you know, who you were while you were here. You know, doctor, lawyer. I mean, we don't need doctors and lawyers in heaven. But even if you were doctors, I'm not saying that's bad. Why is that bad? But don't think that's so important. That's my point. But God makes you doctor, then enjoy. If God makes you like pastor, enjoy. I pray that He will make at least one of you pastor. But whatever He gives you, enjoy. And it's not just Christianity. It's not about rich or poor. See,
Don't misunderstand. When I say heaven, I'm not saying let's live poor. What I'm saying is it doesn't matter. And you know, when God takes everything away tomorrow, I don't miss it. That's the life that God is calling us to live. You show to the whole world that this world really doesn't matter. That's the message. But again, if God makes you rich, then enjoy. But remember to share a little bit. You know, remember Young Kim when you are rich. No. But you understand what God is calling you to do. Study very hard and go to good college and then get a good job. I'm not against that. But not that becoming your purpose so that you neglect, you ignore God on the way. That's my problem. That is a serious problem. That somehow that purpose becomes bigger than God. And it will show in your life. Yeah, I used to remember long time ago, I'm not talking about you, there was a elder son in some church that I, way long ago, who would not come to worship on Lord's Day because he had to go to SAT Hagwon. Give me a break. So he go to good college and what? He glorifies God by not worshiping? Ay, ay, ay. But study very, very hard because God calls you as a student today. And your job right now is to study. And you do that for glory of God. Not because all these other reasons you might have. The word of God makes us desire more of our eternal home and the king of that glorious place. Longing for the visible consummation of all of God's will. That's why we seek to heaven. Because heaven is where all of God's will is now realized. And is that what we want? That your will be done. Isn't that what we pray? And when we pray, your will be done, then how would he answer that prayer? By heaven, that's where all of God's will is done. Do you understand? So whether you realize it or not, every time you pray, your will be done, you've been asking for heaven. Do you know that? First John 3:3, and everyone who has this hope, this heavenly hope, fixed on Jesus Christ, purifies himself just as he is pure. See, God promised that if you have this heavenly hope and fixed upon Jesus, you will cleanse yourself. You will live that godly life. Do you really want to live godly life? It's not the worldly way. Worldly way, what do you have to do? You have to train yourself. You have to put some effort and train. That's how you do it. And I'm not saying you don't need that, but the Bible promises that if you want to live a godly life, you have to know God and you have to have this heavenly hope. Then you will purify yourself. Your life is Jesus-centered and heaven-centered. Verse 22, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb, are its temple. The whole heaven is the Holy of Holies. What was happening at the Holy of Holies? Do you know? In the Old Testament? Old Testament, you know, the tabernacle and temple had two rooms. The first room was called Holies. And the second room is called Holy of Holies. You know, God named it like that, so don't tell me. First room was a big room. Second room was a smaller room, square room. And the first room, when you go in, on your right side, there was a table and 12 loaves of bread. And the left side, there was a lamp. And the right before the curtain that was separating two rooms, right before there, there was an altar of incense. And after you go into the Holy of Holies, then there was the covenant. What is that? The Ark of Covenant, which was pointing to the throne of God. In that Holy of Holies, what happens? Exodus chapter 25. Exodus 25. Okay, now I get it. I was wondering why it was not going. It was off. All right, verse 22. Exodus 25, verse 22. In the Holy of Holies, verse 22, there I will meet with you. And from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are upon the ark of the testimony, I will speak to you about all that I will give you in commandment for the sons of Israel. So, what is the significance of Holy of Holies? It is where God meets His people. But what do we see in heaven? When we look at the picture of heaven, the whole heaven itself is Holy of Holies. Anywhere in heaven, we are able to meet God face to face. You know, Old Testament, the tabernacle and the temple, they were covered and covered and covered. So if you want to go into Holy of Holies, there are so many doors you need to go through. Well, at that time, doors were curtains. And you have to go behind the curtain. And there's more curtain, then you have to go behind that curtain. And there's more curtain, and you have to go behind. What was the whole significance of that? It shows how difficult for the sinner to come to God. In fact, when sinner comes near God, it means the eternal death for him. Even at the Holy of Holies, only the high priest who represented the people, only once a year was able to meet with God. In the Old Testament, who could go into Holy of Holies? The high priest. How many times a year? Only once. That's how difficult for sinners to meet God. And even then, even when this holy, high priest went into the Holy of Holies once a year, even then, if he does anything wrong, he would die instantly. That's why the rope was around his waist and the bell was on his clothing, so that you hear from outside, talang talang, hear from outside, he's still living. But no sound. He's dead. Meeting God is serious business. Sinners just cannot come to God. Do you understand that? And he must enter with the blood of the animal. Otherwise, he dies. But through our passage, look at what our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished forever. All of the citizens of heaven is able to meet God anywhere, anytime in heaven. Face to face meeting with God forever and ever. Because
Even though I am a sinner, that my sins have been cleansed by His precious blood, and now I wear the true priestly garment which pointed to His righteousness, so that I am able to come to God as a righteous and blameless Son of God in Jesus Christ. And that is what heaven is all about. I don't need a high priest to represent me when I'm meeting God. I could meet Him because I am high priest of God in Jesus Christ, who is truly high priest of God. He is God.
In the Old Testament, only the priests were allowed to serve in the temple of God. But now all of God's people are the royal priesthood. Because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, God made us His priests and His kings. Through the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we now enter the true Holy of Holies in heaven anytime as the holy and righteous priest of God to serve God forever and ever. You know what this worship is? Bible clearly shows us that physically we're sitting here, but spiritually we have arrived in heaven. Do you understand where you have come? Maybe you don't believe what the Bible teaches you. Or maybe you don't know what the Bible teaches you. That you have come into the Holy of Holies right now. And you are meeting God face to face, and He is not angry at you. He delights in you. Because you are covered with His Son's righteousness. You are cleansed with His Son's blood. You know that high priest in the Old Testament, that high priest, you know how honored he was to go into the Holy of Holies and meet God? Huh? Do you think that one night before that day, you know, going into the Holy of Holies and meeting with God, one night before that day, what do you think, how he felt? Man, that was the best thing for him. Do you think he will come late to meet God? Do you think he skipped on meeting God? And that is exactly what we're doing at this place, worshiping. And it's not just high priest, because you have all become priests of God. And you come to Holy of Holies. You know, when he was coming out of his house, you know, that high priest, walking towards the temple, you know, he was so happy to go there. Is that how you come to church? It is just so delightful to come to church. You know, just sing the comes out in because I'm coming to God in a very, very special way. And that's what heaven is all about. Thus, this worship reflects the heavenly reality. This is exactly what happens in heaven. We gather to worship God. So, do you think the high priest, night before, that he will prepare everything so that when that day comes, that nothing will go wrong? Thus, you prepare everything Saturday. You put gas on Saturday so that you don't have to bother with that Sunday morning. You already pick out, you know, like what you're going to wear so that you don't take, you know, especially girls, you know, you don't spend like 40 minutes looking for your dress. Not just dress, but which dress. You prepare everything Saturday night so that this day will be perfect. Because this is precious day. We're meeting God.
Do you understand what is happening now? And we are the temple of God, but God is where we dwell. We are in Him and He is in us. I mean, like, you know, buddy-buddy. Buddy-buddy. You're so close. You know, BFF. You know, all this. It took me a long time to learn this kind of stuff. But look at how God describes our relationship with Him. How do you picture this? He is in us and we are in Him. You cannot get closer than that. God is with His people forever. You know, in Exodus 35, we learn about Moses telling God, because God said, you guys are so sinful, I'm not going to go with you. And Moses says, then what's the point? Just, you know, might as well we all die in the desert. What's the point of going to Canaan if God is not going with us? Because of sin, the temple is destroyed in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ's death on the cross points to that. John chapter 2 verse 19, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. And it says He was speaking of the temple of His body. Jesus has accomplished the true temple of God forever and ever. The true temple will never again be destroyed. Well, I shouldn't say again, the true temple will never be destroyed. God will always live in this true temple forever and ever. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 15, God Himself is the tabernacle. In Revelation 21, verse 3, God is with His people forever and ever. This is what heaven is all about, you guys. It's being with God, meeting Him. But I want to tell you that that reality is already true reality for us. That we are meeting with God spiritually. The heaven has already accomplished. Yes, it's not visible yet, but it's still our present reality. That's why we're so happy. I don't know. You know, I miss you guys. You know that? Because we're going to gather together to worship God together. Seriously. We might be gathering for many, many things. But the most precious gathering is to gather to worship God together. And that happens Lord's Day, on Lord's Day. Every single Lord's Day. The most precious day. That's why all week long you wait for this day. You long for this day to come. It's like little baby waiting for their birthday because they want presents. You know, they count the calendar. You know, they mark off each day up to their birthday. And we do that every week. We count Monday. I can't wait until Sunday. Tuesday. And you think I'm joking? I'm not. This is why we live, to worship God, to live with God in that glorious place. And this worship reflects that reality more and better than anything that we know in this world. until we get to that heaven. This is the best thing. Look at what Christ has accomplished. It's your reality.
Well, I'll just stop. I didn't finish my sermon, but it's okay. We have next Lord's Day. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We are truly blessed. We see in your word that the whole heaven has become the Holy of Holies, where we are able to meet you face to face, the most intimate communion with God. But Father, we thank you that that reality is already ours spiritually. And we thank you when Jesus returns, that reality will be visible for all of us to see. But Father, we thank you that we are able to meet you face to face even now. And that you are happy to see us as we are happy to see you. Oh, Father, we thank you that we are able to enjoy the communion with you now and forever. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.